Conservative Theological University invites you to attend a special church security seminar Saturday, July 23rd. The seminar begins at 9 a.m. with a break for lunch from noon till 12:30. CTU will provide a light lunch. The seminar course syllabus and book will be provided. The cost is only $99 per person. You must be registered before Friday, July 22nd. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE to register via phone. Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today on Let's Face the Issues is Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill was the former Florida representative for District 1 out of Pensacola. He's now running for that seat once again. He is the only Christian conservative Republican running for that seat, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in placing him once again back in that position of leadership for our state. Congressman Hill, we were talking just before the news about Joe Biden and his attempt to force through a Green New Deal with the so-called climate hoax, and he's talking about that very clearly, that if he can declare a health emergency, then by fiat, by tyrannical executive orders, he can force things through in America. We as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, and those especially here in the state of Florida, and there are several other places on the globe and in America that realize that this is a farce, but I'm of the opinion, Congressman, that it's as a result of the so-called climate change mentality that we're watching the harvest of our goods and crops and vegetables and food products diminishing because of the lack of fertilizer, and it is claimed that the fertilizer will wash off and harm the earth and the oceans and the underwater streams. And as a result of that, we're watching an imposed government famine, and I call it a threefold famine: famine of food, a famine of fuel, and famine of finances that we see taking place in America, and I believe stretching across the globe. What do we do as citizens? Let's say you're in office, you're elected in District 1. What can you do as a legislator, as a congressman representing we the people in the state of Florida? What can be done from a state level to give citizens in Florida relief from such archaic mentalities that man can become God and man can control the rotation of the earth and thus control the climate?
Well, one of the first things I would do, Dr. Youngblood, is try to influence my fellow legislators, those who are elected in the office, that we must stand firm and nullify anything that will come down from the Biden administration, which is unlawful, illegal, and unconstitutional. The fact that he is going to try and issue some executive order or some dictate on forcing climate change on us, or his idea of climate change on us, is ridiculous. He does not have that authority or power. The executive orders, which come out of the executive branch, only apply to those who are a part of the executive branch. Those orders do not apply to Congress. They don't apply to the Supreme Court, and they certainly do not apply to the states who do not want to accept them. So that's what we need to do, Dr. Youngblood, to stand firm against the tyranny that we see coming out of this administration. They know what they are doing is wrong. They know what they are doing is unconstitutional and illegal, and they don't care. They're doing it anyway. They're saying, just try and stop us. They're lawless. Just like Satan is himself. Satan knows that he's wrong, and he's saying, well, stop me. And so it's up to Christians to stand up and stop this tyranny, this nonsense we see coming out of Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, hang on for just a moment. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Mike, we have met before, and I was talking to Reverend Youngblood yesterday. He said you would be on, and that you are an expert on the John Birch Society. And I am also a member of the John Birch Society. I read their publications, especially the July issue, one of the latest issues concerning Convention of States. Now, I have signed the petition for Convention of States, and I know that John Birch is against the Convention of States. So let's just take issue number one, term limits. There are other issues, but if you're against the Convention of States and term limits, how does that work?
Well, Derby, it's good hearing from you. And yes, we are friends. In fact, you were so gracious to serve me lunch one day in your home, and I still remember that fantastic meal. You're right. I am a member of the John Birch Society, the chapter here in Pensacola, and they are against the Convention of States. The Convention of States is essentially using Article 5 of our Constitution, which says that the states can call a convention for the purpose of amending our Constitution. Now, that is one area where I'm in disagreement with the John Birch Society, because I do support what our Constitution says. The Constitution, Article 5, I said an oath that I would support and defend it. The Constitution says that the states can call a convention for the purpose of amending our Constitution. Now, the John Birch Society is against that because they believe that, first of all, most members of Congress do not follow the Constitution now. So what makes anyone think that because you add an amendment to it, that they are going to follow it, whether it's for term limits, balancing the budget, or whatever? So they're against it that way. They're also against it because they think that the convention is so dangerous that at the convention they could remove our entire Constitution and write a new one.
Mm-hmm, well, that's right.
I don't believe that that can take place because, first of all, once the amendment is done to the Constitution, it has to be ratified by the states. And that's a high bar for it to be ratified. Three-fifths have to ratify any change. So if the entire Constitution is rewritten, I feel pretty confident that the states would not ratify that. So, in fact, when I was previously in the Florida House, I introduced legislation for the Convention of States to impose a budget balance amendment, a balanced budget amendment to our Constitution. It did not pass in the Florida House, but the state of Florida is a member of wanting to participate when a Convention of States is held.
Did that answer your question, Derby?
Well, but still, I don't see how we're going to get rid of all these crooked career politicians in the Republican Party unless we have term limits. Incumbents always have the upper edge, period.
Yes, I agree with you. And a convention of should a convention of states be held and a proposed amendment is term limits, I'm completely in favor of that. We have term limits now in the state of Florida. And I think because of that, we are now in a position where new people can come forward representing the people instead of those who get entrenched incumbents and stay there and then become just a part of the power broker scene as we see in Washington, D.C. So I'm in complete agreement with you there. I do believe we need a constitutional amendment for term limits. And should that be passed, then there's no way you can get around that. Once your term is up, you must leave office. And that's what I believe that we should have in place.
So if you agree on the term limits, why isn't the John Birch Society advocating for that? And say, we agree with Convention of States on this one issue, and then we'll do the other issues later. Because unless you change the Congress, nothing will happen. And unless we have 100% proof election fraud voting, nothing's going to change either. I think that what the 2022 elections, Democrats will cheat again. So what's the use?
Well, you're a couple of points there. You mentioned Derby. First of all, the John Birch Society is against even an amendment for term limits because they believe that the term limits are already in place. In other words, they say every 2 years you vote for your representative. Every six years you vote for your senator. If you want them out, then vote them out. That's your term limit. But it doesn't work that way, as you know, Derby.
Well, it's frustrating. We're never going to get him out the way things are. So,
Debbie, I'm in agreement with you. We need to have some way to pry those that are the Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and those of that ilk, as well as some that are the rhinos, Republicans in name only, to get them out. But as long as we have the dark money coming in from the PACs, that was introduced and passed as legislation during the Bill Clinton administration. Unless we can reverse that, we'll have the hundreds of millions of dollars coming in, just as we've seen in the past two or three elections from George Soros, putting the district attorneys in place across America that will ignore the laws and allow the thugs to rove the reign in the streets. And we'll defund the police. That's what we're finding. And the key to it, I believe, is to go back to proper funding for elections and not have the dark money, the secret money by the millions going in. That's what took place in Georgia with the Zuckerberg $420 million going into the battleground states. It stole the election in those areas. So we need to go back to some basics with that. But, Derby, thank you so much for your call and for your questions for the congressman. Congressman Hill, on the heels of that, let me do a follow-up question that I believe needs to be clarified for our listeners. If we have a convention of states and the doors are open for the debate, dialogue, and discussion on the Constitution for the state of Florida and other states, and the there's a wild-haired decision. We're just going to, as you said, abandon the Constitution, rewrite the whole thing, or abandon the Constitution. Isn't that a grave potentiality and possibility if that Pandora's box is opened?
I don't think so, Dr. Youngblood, and this is why. I was a member of the group Assembly of State Legislators. We met several times previously. This was back in 2014 to 2016. We met one at in Mount Vernon. Then we met in Indianapolis, Indiana, met in Denver. And there was one other location I was unable to attend. Oh, Washington, D.C. We met in Washington, D.C. And the purpose of that meeting, we had representatives from most of the states. And the idea was to write down the rules that would take place when a convention of states is being held. This was a group of state legislators. What the rules would be when a convention of states is set in place. And we laid out who were going to be the members coming from the state and what they had to adhere to, or they would be removed from the convention. And that was, they had to decide on, first of all, what was going to be the issue, the single issue that would come before that convention, and how they were going to vote on it based on how the state sent them there to vote. And if they deviated from that, they were to be removed from the convention immediately and replaced by an alternate. So those rules are written and are in place. What we need now is for a number of states, they need three-fourths of the states to agree to a convention. And when they do that, then according to Article 5 of our Constitution, Congress must call a convention of states. Even the location was going to be in Dallas, Texas. And the reason we chose Dallas, Texas is because if it were to be challenged, then that jurisdiction would have a go to a conservative judicial branch in that jurisdiction. So a lot of thought has been given to this. And I think the idea of it just being a runaway convention, tossing out our entire Constitution and rewriting it, I think that is just far-fetched and cannot happen.
Well, that's an encouragement to me, because I had always had a opposing view, thinking that, you know, you open Pandora's box and anything is possible and anything goes. Congressman Hill, let me do this at this juncture before we ask some other questions. For the benefit of our listeners, tell our listeners how they can reach you and how they can lock arms with you and contribute to your campaign. And let's pray and assist to see that you go back in office. Give our listeners some contact information.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. They can reach me very easily at MikeHillForFlorida.com. That's MikeHillForFlorida.com. And you can go there and contact me. We will respond. You can go there and make a financial contribution, which is so needed and much appreciated, because I am running against a candidate who is being backed by the establishment, of course, because they know that when I'm in Tallahassee, that because I adhere to my oath of office, that I don't just kowtow to whatever the establishment wants done there. No, I adhere to my oath of office. So I can be reached at MikeHillForFlorida.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me do a little footnote on that statement. When we elect a legislator, whatever the district in the state of Florida, the votes come out of their district. But once they're seated, they represent we the people for the entire state of Florida. And so I'm encouraging you, as a conservative Christian myself, that we do everything possible to put Mike Hill back in the House of Representatives in the state of Florida to represent we the people in a free state that I'm thankful to be living in, called the state of Florida. Mike, let me ask you a couple of questions. Recently, there was a shooting in a Indiana mall, and a young man that had the right to carry what they called a legal carry weapon, and I believe in that particular state it's open carry, a constitutional carry, and three people were shot. I'm looking at the headlines. Indiana police say Good Samaritan took out a mall shooter in 15 seconds, landing 8 of 10 shots. Police said it was Elijah Dickson, D-I-C-K-E-N, Dickin, just 15 seconds to neutralize a man who opened fire on shoppers at an Indiana mall. Quick action, they believe, saved countless upon countless lives. The time lapse between the moment of Jonathan Spearman's exited the restroom and began shooting, and when he shot, when he was shot by the citizen, with only 15 seconds, not 2 minutes. The surveillance video shows that the shooter exited the restroom at 5:56 p.m., was neutralized by the Good Samaritan at 5:57.03 p.m. Now, it's sad when anybody's shot. I don't rejoice over that. But this shooter walked out of the bathroom in the mall, walked out of the bathroom and immediately started aiming his rifle and shooting. And this good Samaritan, as he's called, pulled out his 9mm. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I've read five articles on it. I believe it's about 45 yards away. He fired 10 shots, eight of them lodged into the body of the mass shooter and neutralized him. Now, I'm giving the little historical background for our listeners because I know that you are for constitutional carry in the state of Florida, and so am I. Can you talk to the issue of the value of that? Good guys carrying a gun that gave the protection in an entire mall, and how that is so fitting for the society in which we're living in today.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I am for constitutional carry, which says that you can legally purchase a weapon and ammunition without having to get a permit from the government to do so, or to pay the government to do so. And this is a classic example. It is constitutional carry in Indiana. And a couple of things about that incident. First of all, the media will never tell you the number of lives that have been saved because someone was carrying a weapon and stopped a bad person from either attacking them or someone else. I believe the last time I read about that is somewhere in over a million in almost every year. But you don't hear about that at all because it doesn't fit our leftist press narrative. So this was a classic example. If this young man had not taken out that deranged shooter, a lot more people would have been killed. And so having something like constitutional carry, which, by the way, is a God-given constitutional right to defend and protect ourselves, our family, and our property, it should be a no-brainer. It should be in all states because the Second Amendment said the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. And so anyone who would want to infringe upon our Second Amendment is violating their oath of office. They have perjured themselves, and they should be removed from office. The other thing about this situation is that he's 40 yards away and lands in 15 seconds, 8 out of 10 shots. Now, Dr. Youngblood, I have gone to the shooting range before in practice, and from 40 yards away, I would have been glad to have got one, maybe two on target. So this shows that this young man is well-trained with his weapon. He's not in the military or not with the police, but he obviously goes to some shooting range or maybe on his own property if he's on a farm or something like that, and has practiced many times to be able to do that. And I just would want to thank God that he was present at that time and was willing and able to take out that shooter.
Absolutely. I am thankful for that. Congressman Hill, let me ask you to do this for our listeners. When you go back in office, not if, but when is my position.
Amen.
When you go back in office, what are the top three things that you want to accomplish during your first term?
Number one, Dr. Youngblood, one of the top three things. Number one is abolish abortion in Florida.
Amen.
I will pass the Life at Conception Protection Act, where there will be no exceptions for rape, incest, or human sex trafficking, or what they say, the life of the mother is in danger. What I've learned from doctors discussing that with them is that the proper procedure, should a mother's there's danger there with the mother's life, that the doctor is to do what he can to try and save both lives.
Yes.
If for some reason he's unable to save the baby's life, then that was a miscarriage. It's not murdering that baby in the womb. So Life at Conception Protection Act, I'm going to pass that. I'm going to run a bill for constitutional carry. We're going to pass that. Then I'm also going to run a bill to protect our children better in schools, not just physically, because we do have protection for that, but spiritually and emotionally. Stop this nonsense of having pornography in our schools.
Yes.
Trying to teach this critical race theory, this transgenderism. It has no place in our schools. And we need to pass legislation to protect those children.
Absolutely. And Congressman, you touched on it. Let me say this. I'm looking at an article from Matt Staver. While labeled a resolution, House Resolution 1209, the so-called Transgender Bill of Rights is written like a bill itself. The Transgender Bill of Rights will put extreme LGBTQ and abortion advocates in full authority over you and your family, your speech, your social media, websites, churches, schools, daycare, work, insurance plans, medical care, and more will be affected. And it goes into detail. It is literally taking the old House Bill 5, which was the Equality Act, they called it, that passed by 240 votes in the House back a year, year and a half ago. They're taking all of that wording and adding to it then the LGBTQ agenda. And Matt Staver is blowing the sirens of warning, warning, warning with the danger. How should we respond to this from the standpoint of the common citizens, the Christians? How can we help thwart something like this? And what can be done on a state level to prevent this from becoming the law in the state of Florida?
We use nullification, Dr. Youngblood, and as Christians, the church, the body of the living God, has to stand up and say no to this because their agenda is insatiable. They don't stop. They don't demand just your acceptance of their perverted behavior. The sodomites don't demand that you just kowtow to them and accept them in society. They demand your participation, and they are always pressing the envelope, and that's why they want to have these drag queen shows at schools and at nurseries and so forth, because they are trying to groom the children and press and demand your participation. Just like when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed and Lot's household was surrounded, they demanded participation. It says, send the men out so that we can be with them. And that behavior, that human perverted nature, hasn't changed. It's the same as it is today. So we must stand up against it. Enough is enough. We are not going to accept that here in our state. And we need to press back against that entire perverted agenda.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Congressman Mike Hill. He is the Christian Republican conservative candidate running for District 1 in the state of Florida. Let me encourage you to, number one, pray for him. Number two, go on his website and contribute to assist him in being elected. We need men like this in the Florida House. Thank you so much, Congressman, for visiting with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.